Welcome to the Northern Great Lakes Visitor Center in Ashland, Wisconsin. Today, I will be taking you on a relaxing hike through the Children's Forest Nature Trail. While on this hike, there will be several stops to listen for some of the animals who share this space with us, to soak in the fresh North Woods air, and learn something new about the transformation of this beautiful area. We'll begin our hike exiting the Northern Great Lakes Visitor Center building. Our exit is located to the left of the stairwell and elevator in the northwest corner of the building. I suggest we get started and discover the natural world. While exiting the doors of the Northern Great Lakes Visitor Center about 9 feet on the right, there will be a ramp. At the base of the ramp, walk a short 40 feet, and this will lead us to our first panel location, which will be on your left. If we pause here for just a moment, I can tell you what the Children's Forest has to offer. Clues along the trail tell stories of how the landscape before you has changed dramatically and repeatedly over the past 10,000 years. The Children's Forest Trail includes level boardwalk and gravel surfaces. Each of the trail's two loops is about 1/8 mile. The time to complete each loop is approximately 15 to 20 minutes. Benches along the trail offer places to sit and reflect about the clues that this wetland environment offers about its past. Since 1998, agency partnerships at the Northern Great Lakes Visitor Center have provided opportunities for visitors to connect with the region's heritage. The Children's Forest Trail offers children of all ages opportunities to experience an intimacy with nature that is often forgotten. Take a child by the hand and step into a natural world that is timeless. If we follow the trail to the left, there will be a gradual decline for about 215 feet, where we will come to the beginning of the Children's Forest Trail. The trailhead will be to the right, where we will begin our adventure. We will hike about 121 feet to a set of benches on the left and an informational panel. Depending on what time of year you visit, you may even encounter the magnificent melodies of our feathered friends. In the spring, you may hear the beautiful music of bluebirds. In the fall, you may experience the sound of northern harrier hunting for its prey overhead. Or in the winter, you may feel the crisp air against your cheeks and hear the crunching of snow with every step of your foot. If you have made it to the benches and panel, this would be a wonderful location to pause your audio device and take in for a moment the tranquility of the North Woods. This panel is where we will bear witness to a battle for the landscape, and an invader wins the fight. By the early 1900s, the vast pine and hardwood forests covering the Lake Superior region were cut. European immigrants settled the cut over land. They found the soil poor, much of it too wet or sandy for productive farming. This area here is an open field that was once a shrubby swamp. It was home to native wet plants and animals, but it provided little food for livestock. Farmers planted reed canary grass, which is a tall, slender grass that when in full bloom has a slender golden tuft that blows gracefully in the wind. This has allowed the farmers to convert these wetlands into hayfields. Many farm families still make a living feeding it to their livestock. Reed canary grass spreads aggressively, crowding out a diversity of native plants. This field became a battleground between native wetland plants and invasive reed canary grass. And reed canary grass won the fight. Birds such as the meadowlark and animals like the northern leopard frog moved on in search of richer wetland communities where the refugees sought food and shelter that were no longer available here. While we continue along the trail, another 470 feet on the right side, there will be a set of benches to sit, relax, and listen to the tranquil sounds of nature. If you're ready for a break, you may pause the podcast, or we will just continue to venture through the forest. Hiking for another 250 feet to our next panel, we will begin to enter the ridgeline of the Children's Forest, where we will come across fairy piles of middens and the husks of northern white cedar and tamarack trees. The trail will begin to curve to the right, and there will be the next panel located on the left side. This interpretive panel offers us microscopic clues to the past. Plants moved into the area at the end of the Ice Age. Mile-thick glacial ice blanketed this land during the Ice Age more than 10,000 years ago. As global temperatures warmed, the ice melted and retreated north. The meltwater covered this land under 500 feet of water. Modern-day Lake Superior appeared only after water levels dropped. The land along its shore, waterlogged since glacial times, became coastal wetlands where cold-tolerant cedar, spruce, and balsam forests grew. Northern white cedar pollen grains, discovered deep within the soil, reveal that this site has been a cedar swamp since the last glacier retreated. Walking for a short 40 feet down the trail, on the right side, there will be a bench to sit and reflect. While you are here taking a deep breath, you will experience the rich aroma of these trees soaking into every pore. Our next panel will be located approximately another 280 feet on the left-hand side of the trail. Hiking through the northern white cedar section of the trail, you may hear the sounds of cones dropping to the floor, or the squirrels scurrying in search of their next snack, a true Northwoods experience. Once we arrive to the panel, this is where we will discover a swamp survivor, the tree that breathes underwater. The black ash survives where others cannot. It survives with trunks submerged in icy meltwater and is the only leafy tree that grows in the swamp's forest wettest soils. Special pores in its roots extract oxygen from the wet soil, allowing the tree to breathe underwater. The black ash is the last tree to get its new leaves each spring, and the first to shed them in the fall. Because it is leafless for most of the year, the black ash allows for plenty of sunlight to reach the forest floor and warm the cold swamp soils. The sunny microclimate beneath the black ash forest hosts a variety of low-growing plants and moisture-loving frogs and salamanders. Most swamp trees are conifers, trees with needles. You can see where the conifer and black ash swamp meet. The black ash trees indicate where the swamp soils are most saturated. Unfortunately, we have to wonder, will the ash trees survive? The emerald ash borer is an invasive species highly destructive to most ash trees. The emerald ash borer larva poses serious threat to the black ash by inhibiting the tree's ability to transport water and nutrients necessary for survival. Another set of benches will be located on the right side, about 163 feet from this panel. Now would be a fantastic time to pause the recording to listen to the delightful melodies of the green frog, spring peeper, gray tree frog, and wood frogs all sing in perfect harmony. As we venture on our way through the children's forest about another 350 feet to the next set of benches, we may hear the calls of the swamp sparrow and the red-winged blackbird singing the sweet melodies of nature. Once we have arrived to the next set of benches, we have completed the first loop of the trail. Here, if we go to the right, the trail will lead us back to the visitor center, or we can remain going forward to finish the second loop of the trail. I will be finishing the second loop, continuing it ahead along the trail. Another 320 feet on the right side from this T intersection, there will be some more benches for reflection and relaxation. At this point on the trail, we will veer to the left, and about another 73 feet, there will be a panel located on the left-hand side. This panel describes the uniqueness of where the speckled alder tree grows. Alders nourish and shape coastal wetlands. The speckled or tag alder grows with abandoned and waterlogged wetland soils. The alder's tangled branches offer protection for wildlife. They make perfect nesting spots for the red-winged blackbirds by keeping out certain predators. Alder's roots absorb nitrogen from air bubbles trapped within these mucky soils. When alder leaves fall in autumn, they act like nutritious compost. Nitrogen accumulated in the leaves is recycled back into the wetland for other plants' use. By enriching the soil, speckled alders are helping to shape this coastal wetland. The next set of benches will be located 295 feet on the left from this panel. Here you can stop and listen for the songs of the yellow warbler or hear the rhythmic calls of the northern leopard frogs. The last panel on this section of the trail will be located another 206 feet from the benches on the left-hand side. While hiking through the sedge meadows, many secretive birds like the sedge and marsh wrens will be nesting within the neatly piled tussock sedge hummocks. Or you may even hear the cute cackling call of the soroh. This panel gives life to Life on the Edge, a unique and rare encounter of a sedge meadow. Grass-like sedges are native coastal wetland plants. They are well adapted to living on the edge of land and water. The haystack-like clumps dotting this meadow are called hummocks or tussocks. Each hummock is a colony of sedge plants, one generation growing on top of another. This strong foundation keeps sedges from washing away in times of high water or drying up during droughts. A steady flow of water slowly percolates through the sedge meadow's spongy soil on its way to Lake Superior. Over 90% of Wisconsin's original sedge meadows have been overrun by invasive species, plowed under, or drained for development. Sedge meadows like this one are now rare. The lumpy sedge meadow landscape and vegetation along its edge provide food and shelter for secretive birds such as the sorrel and wildlife like the northern leopard frog that prefer to hide among the sedge hummocks or hunt from above. With the conclusion of panels along this loop, while hiking along the next 345 feet, you will come across benches located on both the left and right-hand side of the trail, where you can unplug the earbuds and experience all the magnificent sensations this area has to offer. After the last bench on the right, head to the left about 85 feet, where we will cross a bridge. Here we may hear the distinctive sounds of mallards flying overhead. Once we have crossed the bridge, we will continue to hike another 235 feet, where we will meet another T intersection. Here we will turn right and hike 70 feet to a patio that overlooks the visitor center pond, where creating something natural, the man-made pond serves dual purposes. Most wetland ponds rest in thumbprint-like depressions scooped out by ancient glaciers. Humans made this pond to provide a water supply for fire protection. Red clay lies beneath these wetland soils. Working like a tight seal, the clay not only prevents the groundwater from flowing up to the surface, it also prevents surface water from draining down to the groundwater. Humans punched a hole through the red clay seal. Groundwater bubbled up and filled the depression, and a spring-fed pool was made. Water-loving cattails sprang up along the shore. The cool, deep water is perfect for fish and frogs to find homes along its shore. Visitors like the great blue heron, ducks, and osprey discover a ready buffet of tasty aquatic plants and animals. To re-enter the visitor center building, there will be a door located about 5 feet to the left of the patio lookout. You will now be entering the northeast corner of the building. Now that we have completed our journey of the Northern Great Lakes Visitor Center Children's Forest Trail, I hope you have discovered the various multicolored gems we have located here in northern Wisconsin. I really enjoyed going on this hike with you today. And please stay to discover the many other attractions the center has to offer, such as the Aldo Leopold Trail or the various indoor exhibits exemplifying northern Wisconsin's uniquely diverse heritage.